Hello and welcome to Pardes from Jerusalem, the podcast series from the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies in Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, a Pardes alum. This week, Bamidbar. This week, Rabbi David Levenkruis discusses Bamidbar. Rabbi David Levenkruis is a member of the Pardes faculty and also serves as the Pardes Director of Special Programs. And now, Rabbi David Levenkruis.
Thank you, Larry, and Shabbat Shalom to us all. Kol ha'aretz degalim degalim. The whole country is filled with flags, says an old Zionist song. And indeed, if you're in Jerusalem at the moment, or in Israel at the moment, that's exactly what it feels like. From Yom HaZikaron till Yom Yerushalayim next week, from Independence Day to Jerusalem Day, there's a very strong folk custom in Israel to hang flags up. They can be on your car, they could be outside your house, they could be in your office. But this is almost, if you will, the secular high holy days or the secular yontif of Israel. And one of the ways that it's expressed is by hanging up flags. And every year one notices that there are actually fewer flags, and people like me get upset because we're scared that patriotism is going down in the state of Israel. And yet, at the same time as I get upset that there are fewer flags, I also myself don't like hanging up flags. I can't put my finger on it. What it is that I feel uncomfortable, perhaps it is from growing up in South Africa, where there was a very strange relationship that many people had to the flag of the apartheid government. Perhaps it's because just the whole flag-waving, saber-rattling doesn't speak to me. So on the one hand, like, I feel that people should all be waving flags. On the other hand, I myself am not so keen to do it. So I started thinking about flags, and I'd like to share one, two of my insights that I have about flags. And then I want to look at a pasuk in this week's parasha and understand it in the light of what I've just said. So the first thing I have to share about flags or about emblems is a poem by Yehuda Amichai, which I think in some way expresses my discomfort. It's a really, really beautiful flag, which I presume was written before 67. He writes, Al gav be'ir ha'atika, kvisamu eret be'or acharon shel yom, sadin lavan shel oyevet, magevet shel oyev, lenagev ba et za'am apo, on a roof in the old city, laundry hanging in the late afternoon sunlight, the white sheet of a woman who is my enemy, the towel of a man who is my enemy, to wipe off the sweat of his brow. In the sky of the old city, a kite, at the end of the string, a child I can't see because of the wall. Ubishmei ha'ira atika afifon. Ubikze ha'chut yeled. Shelo ra'iti oto biglal ha'choma. Helenu harbe degalim. Helu harbe degalim. Kedei she'nachshov she'hem smechim. Kedei she'yachshavu she'anachnu smechim. We have put up many flags. They have put up many flags. To make us think that they're happy. To make them think that we're happy. For me, this poem expresses much of what I feel complicated about flags. We put up flags as a replacement for dialogue. We put up flags as something to rally around. We put up flags to transmit messages that we don't believe in. Sometimes we put up flags to transmit messages that they do believe in. Sometimes the flag becomes the center and the vision of fascism comes into one's mind. There is much, much, much that is can be problematic with flags. And yet, the same time as this is a period of flags, it's also a period of something else, not exactly a flag, but close to a flag, and that is, the Yom HaAtzma'ut poster. Every year, a poster is chosen for Yom HaAtzma'ut, and every year it somehow reflects what is going on in the year, and in your source sheet, I've given you links for what I'm speaking about. But it's very, very worthwhile going through them, thinking of those years, and thinking why was that chosen. They're always done very, very well. And as I said, we'll see in the parasha a similar distinction between flags and posters and things like that. What I'd like to do now, actually, is to compare the first Independence Day poster in 1949 to this year's one. If we look, and I hope people are looking, at the Independence Day poster of 1949, we see two strong arms raising the Israeli flag This is Soviet socialist realistic style. It's very masculine. It's accompanied by a quote directly from the Declaration of Independence, not from the Siddur, not from the Tanakh, not even from Hebrew poetry, but from the Declaration of Independence, which is the new Torah. You have an unfurled flag. Not only is it very secular, not only is it very Israeli as opposed to Jewish, but it's very Mapai. This is the party that won the election, and it's making clear not only do we have a state, but it's a state in our image. It's in the image of the Mapai party. This is very, very different from this year's flag, this year's poster. This year, the theme of the lighting of the special Yom HaOtzmaot lights was women in Israeli society, and it was all women who lit, very different from this very masculine 1949 image. There were not only secular women, but religious women, ultra-Orthodox women, one Arab woman. If we look at the poster, it's very, very different. The person, the woman who designed it, wrote in an interview in Yisrael Hayom, she says that she wanted to do something classic, but mamlachti, but government-like, but official. In other words, there's still very much the connection of the state. There's still the classicism. Aval gam, but also to express the idea of equality of women. If you look at it, it's very whimsical. It's actually hard to tell what it is. There's something very feminine about it. She says, to show women connected in a dominant and a central place in the symbol of the state, it's almost as if these women's symbols have taken over the flag or have become part of the flag in some way. She says, for some people, it takes a moment for us to see the flag. And this is, she says, is a very, very good thing that the woman is in process and she's in movement, going up. And what she's really trying to say is we still have the collective. It's still very, very much a collective society. But whereas in 1949, it was Mapai as one and man as one and a fist and a Declaration of Independence, now we're saying lots of different people are part of the symbol. Women who have left out in 1949 are also part of what's going on. It's a much more welcoming poster, but nevertheless still has the important idea of the collective, because that is so much a part of Israeli society. With all this behind us, let us look at Pasuk 2 of Bamidbar 2, Bamidbar Bet Bet. We have Yehuda Amichai's flag, where we try to make ourselves feel good, but it's not real. We have these posters, which express something very, very powerful. Let's have a look at Bamidbar 2:2. It's speaking about the different ways that people would walk in the desert, and it says ish al diglo, a person al diglo, an Israelite or a person ish al diglo with his degel beotot, with the ot levet avotam, of his father's house, yachanu bnei Yisrael. That is how they camped. They're talking about how they camp, and immediately we want to know what is the word degel, usually translated as flag, and ot mean. And Rashi, God bless Rashi every day, Rashi comes to help us. He says, kol degel yielo ot mipot tzvua tluya bo. Every degel shall have its own ot with a colored cloth hanging of it on it, the color of one being different from the color of the other. The color of each one was like the hue of its stone, set in the choshen worn by the Kohen Gadol, and in this way everyone could recognize his division. I don't have it exactly in my mind, but it seems that each one had a flag, and which represented the entire tribe, and an ot, which was more a division head, if you will. One of my students, it's not me, one of my students said something very, very clever, that ish represents breishit, a person, which is very, very much the story of individuals, maybe somewhat of families. Ot is Bamidbar, where we are at the moment. Here it's becoming more tribal, it's more divisions, but it's not a nation yet. Degel, on the other hand, is a nation. And what we have over here is a combination of the individual, the tribe, and the nation, all being brought together. So already we have a hint of, hey, wait a minute, a flag does not have to be something that gets rid of individuality. A flag does not have to be something that gets rid of the clan. Rather, like this year's Yom HaAtzmaut poster, it can be something that has that has everything. And I think this comes out beautifully, very, very beautifully, in Bamidbar. Rabbah 2:7. This is a midrashic work. The fact of the matter is, although I've said that Degel is Devarim, it's when we're really becoming a nation, there is over here no national flag. There is over here no flag that belongs to the whole of the Jewish people. So what is the flag of the Jewish people? Bamidbar Rabbah says to us, each prince had his own emblem and his own standard of a color corresponding to the tribe's precious stone on the breast of Aaron. In other words, where did these otot come from? They come from each prince having his own emblem, and this is a precious stone on the breast of Aaron. And then it goes on, and it's absolutely beautiful. It goes through each tribe. I'm not going to go through it together with you, but I strongly recommend people read it. It goes through each tribe and explains why there was that color stone on Aaron's breastplate, on Aaron's ephod, for that tribe. Sometimes it comes from Bereshit 49 with the blessings that the tribes got, that the sons got, but not always. Sometimes it's taken from something that happened later, much further down in history. Sometimes it's taken from something earlier in the Tanakh, which in and of itself expresses the personhood or the individualism, I should say, that you have in each case. You have over here absolutely beautiful, you have here absolutely beautiful, each tribe having a stone, and together they represent the entire people. I think what's going on over here is that the ephod is the flag of Am Yisrael. And what a powerful flag it is, representing the person, representing the tribe, and representing the entire nation, but more importantly that, representing God. And I think what's important about flags is not flags per se. Flags are like everything. You have good flags and you have bad flags. You have flags that help people to get to higher places. You have flags that become a substitute for doing what is right. And it's interesting that there is a quote, there's a side quote, if you will, in Bamidbar Rabbah. It says, it was from these that the governments of the world learned to provide themselves with flags of different colors. And I think I hear two things over here. One, half jokingly, I hear this classic Jewish idea like, God forbid, somebody else should have something first. We've got it first. But secondly, it's interesting, I've sometimes been told by people who are not so in favor of Israel, you know, that flags and symbols and emblems and everything is goyish anachas, you know, like pleasure, Gentile pleasure, nationhood pleasure. That's not what being Jewish is about. Being Jewish is not about these trappings. And I agree with them. Being Jewish is not about being empty, about empty trappings. But we see over here is that being Jewish is about trappings that mean something. And a flag that we can rally around, that reminds us to reach our highest values. A flag that tells us we should be the best people we can, and the best Jews we can, and the best family people that we can, and the best member of our tribe. That is a flag that is worthwhile. That is the flag that was the ephod. And ultimately, I believe that the Mishkan, the tabernacle, was the real flag of the people of Israel, representing the place where we dialogued with God, and where we were reminded to do God's will. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Levin Cruz. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.